Welcome to Cinema Geeks as we continue our Kevin Smith retrospective. Today we are looking at Kevin Smith's second film, Mallrats. Joining me on this adventure as we travel down the world of Kevin Smith is Hard Candy Mandy. How's it going?
I feel like what I wanted to do was just be silent, like Silent Bob, but I didn't think anybody would get it. So hey.
Maybe if it was a visual talk, like more of a video cast.
I could have done his like head tilt with his eyebrow raise thing that he does, like eh.
Maybe next time Kevin can just verbally explain what's going on. So as I indicated, also joining us today, of course, is Kevin Optimus Solo.
I wish I could remember what Jay's phrase is throughout the film so I could say this.
Snoochie
right.
Boochies.
Yeah, I was gonna say snoochie boochies. But that's all I got. We've lost her.
I'm gonna scream that out at some
point. Oh Lord.
And of course joining us as well is Matt Fridley Sen. How's it going?
Snoogans.
That's the key to comedy. Just put a snoo in front of things and suddenly it becomes funny. But yes, we are going through the career of Kevin Smith. We've talked about Clerks, and now we're getting into his second film, Mallrats. He was this director that came out of nowhere, and now he had an opportunity to kind of prove that he was going to be somebody after, you know, making this surprise indie hit that he basically, you know, used his comic stash for. And, you know, now he had the opportunity to have a real studio behind him with real production values and things of that nature. So obviously in a movie that was shot in color. So certainly upgrading in certain areas and things like that. So we talked about our feelings with Clerks, and I know the reception of Mallrats at the time was very negative. It was looked at as the classic sophomore slump where Smith financially did not, the movie itself did not do very well. Critically, it was panned, and I think most people thought it was one of the worst movies of the year, or at least nowhere near to the level of Clerks. But I think as time has gone on, some people have kind of went back and maybe changed their mind on it. I know, Amanda, was this the first time you watched Mallrats?
Yeah, I think I've seen like a couple scenes, but definitely not anywhere even like close to half of the film. So this was basically a first time watch.
So, no, you know, there seems to be somewhat of a split reaction. Obviously, Kevin Smith always has his fans, but do you feel that it's a drop down compared to Clerks, or do you think it's better? Like, what are your overall opinions of Mallrats?
I liked this better than Clerks. I was able to get involved with this more, and I feel like I latched on and liked the characters in this a lot more.
Interesting. So we have one better than Clerks. Kevin, how about you? Where this was your first time watch, or at least first time fully through. What were your thoughts on Mallrats?
Yeah, this is one that I had seen scenes here and there. I'd probably seen good, you know, chunks of the movie, but I'd never seen it probably from beginning to end while I was paying attention. So I feel like it's a hard question to answer. I feel like the dialogue and the writing is better in Clerks. But I feel like the acting and the production value obviously is better in Mallrats. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Like, I think there's elements that are better in Clerks, and I think there's elements that are better in Mallrats. If you're asking which film I enjoy more, I think the fact that of the accomplishment of what he did with Clerks with not much to go on makes it a little bit more impressive. And the fact that he had a little bit more to work with and some better actors, I just feel like I wish the script would have just been a touch better in Mallrats. And that's why I think I can't quite put it up as high as Clerks. But I enjoyed both films, but I think I'm a little bit leaning towards Clerks.
And Matt, do you feel like Mallrats deserves the sophomore slump label? Or do you think it actually, in retrospect, is a lot of people that better than people said initially when it first came out?
I think that a lot of people were, I mean, I don't know, like you said, worst movie of the year. Like, It is not.
I mean, maybe not UA Bowl level, but at least, like, I think it was. I know Roger Ebert hated it. There's a lot of people who were not really big fans of it, so it was pretty panned pretty hard by a lot of people.
That's. I mean, here's the thing. I think Kevin got it pretty much right. Like, I've watched this movie a few times, and almost always right after watching Clerks, like within a day to a week after watching Clerks, and both times it's like there's some improvements, there's some downgrades. Like, it's not as good. Like, I mean, if you want to say sophomore slump, I think that's fair, though a little like harsher to than reality really is. It's slightly less good than Clerks, but it's still, you know, a decently solid movie.
Interesting. Like, I remember the first time I watched Mallrats, like, I did not like it at all. It just did not click with me. So I went into this, I don't know, the last time I watched it, like, dreading it. Like, we're thinking, oh, this is going to be really bad. And it was actually, you know, like, it ended up being better than I expected. I actually still like Clerks a lot more. I guess I feel like Clerks had something, like, more to say, or at least it felt like it had a clear idea of what it was in a way, and I felt like some of the bits worked a little bit better. Maybe it's just I also appreciated just the raw nature of this, where some of this I feel like it does feel very 90s, for sure. But I know, Amanda, you mentioned that you gravitated toward these characters a lot more than the ones in Clerks, and why was that? What about these characters appealed to you this time around?
I just think that there was more here for me to, I don't know, necessarily relate to, but I could put myself in their situation.
Were you a frequenter of the mall in the
1990s? It doesn't sound like as much as these guys. Like, I didn't go there just to, like, hang out as much. Like, I would go there to shop, but I wasn't just, like, kind of going there to, that was my socializing spot when I was younger. Probably because my mom was like,
your palm red and all that good stuff.
Not by any third nipples or anything. Like, my mom used to make me have one of those Motorola, like, long distance walkie talkies when I went to the mall. Like, I couldn't go by myself until I was probably like almost 18. So I didn't get to just like go hang out. So that part I really couldn't get behind. But like, some of the girls, like, you know, their shopping and things that they were doing, like, yeah, I can get down on that. But I think it was more just kind of the, I feel like a lot of this revolved around relationships. I mean, it really did, all revolving around relationships. And I feel like with Clerks, it was a little bit more than just, like, romantic relationships. So I liked here, too, like, Jay and Silent Bob did a lot more that didn't make them just seem like sued punks. Like, they were good friends in this, too, so I thought that was cool.
I was always a little bit envious of, like, the mall culture because I live so far away from it, and I always thought that would be a cool place to work, like, working at one of the stores in the mall, because it's, like, a whole community. There's, like, a billion stores there with a billion different people working there, and but yet you see the same people every day, so I always thought it would be cool to be a part of that, but I never was someone who went to the mall very often at all, like, I think maybe once or twice a year at the most, but I think the difference for me is the conversations in Clerks that they're having seem to just be revolving around more intelligent concepts, or at least more concepts that, whether they're intelligent or not, are more well thought out. And I felt like too many of the conversations and the dialogue here was more juvenile in a lot of respects. I mean, yes, there was the relationship aspects, but there was another you know, good portion of it that seemed like it was just, like, I don't know, juvenile teenage men, you know, conversations, where I didn't get that as much in Clerks. It seemed like it was more like, this is what intelligent people that are not doing much at their present state in life would talk about. So I don't know. I think that was, there was like a maturity element in one compared to the other. At least, I guess that's how I'm explaining it.
Does that at all have to do with the age of the characters that we're dealing with? I know, I mean, it does seem like they're late teens or early-ish 20s. Is that part of why it might be a little bit more juvenile?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I just think it's just some of the way that they're, like, especially early on, like, how they're portrayed and kind of the reasons why they have problems with their relationship. It just seems like a typical, you know, like, juvenile thing to be upset about or to have feuds about, whereas in Clerks it's more, I don't know, it seemed like it was more legit stuff that they were fighting about. I don't know whether it was, you know, whether they had more credence to be upset or not. It just seemed like it was more, I don't know, believable for why the problems in the relationships were in Clerks compared to here, where it's just their relationships are because the guys are kind of douchebags that aren't, you know, fully into the relationship like most guys that age. So I don't know. It just, maybe it's just Jason Lee for the most part. He just came across very obviously immature and childish. So that was a slight turnoff in some of the conversations that then came from him, I guess.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, because you look at, like, kind of the reasoning why they're having relationship troubles and what they're speaking of, and these kind of characters in a way, like Jason Lee feels like the man child that's kind of very prevalent today, in a way, like the kid, like the person who hasn't grown up, where like Dante in Clerks seems like just like a regular dude who's just trying to get by. I think that certainly plays into that. I don't know how you feel about the comedy in general. I know we get a little bit more slapstick in this with this, especially with Jay and Silent Bob, but the comedy overall, how did it work for you in this one?
I do feel like the comedy is a little more juvenile. There's like poop jokes and like
the throw up jokes and
yeah. Part of me was really bothered by the Jay and Silent Bob Batman grappling hook scene. I don't know. I feel like this is definitely the most slapsticky of all of his movies, as far as I can remember, just from like going back in my own memory. Like, it's got a lot of really weird things like that. But some of the comedy, like the Stan Lee bit, like hit so well. Like, that was so good. or even like the fortune teller, I thought was really well done, even though the whole thing was just like a, you know, 3 minute boob joke. I thought it was very hilarious, the change of character between the two. I think that, yeah, some of the comedy is definitely less good than Clerks. Like, Clerks, there weren't moments that did and didn't hit nearly as well, as much as there were in this. Like, this had a lot more peaks and valleys.
I think Shannon Doherty, I think, is the one who said it, but, like, she has a quote to Jason Lee that kind of, like, summed it up, because she said something around the lines of, like, your maleness surprises me sometimes. Like, that was the type of humor that we were getting to exemplify, like, the maleness of Jason Lee from an immature, you know, maybe comic book or video game fan, etc. But then you also get it in the same respect from Ben Affleck as like the macho male, like pig type thing. So you're getting a lot of like the almost like a caricature of like the typical male in a couple different respects. And I thought that was what took us away from some of like the more like Dante, etc., who are having conversations that are important to them about their life and their future and stuff like that, and about their state, you know, in the world. It just seemed like it was more, I don't know, higher level.
Yeah, like, ultimately, I when looking at this, it felt like it was trying to lead to something, but it never quite got there. Amanda, how did you feel about the humor in general? Did it work for you? Like, did it seem off compared to the Clerks, or did you kind of enjoy it more this time around?
I don't know. I think that none of the really funny stuff came from any of the ladies. I feel like the ladies were kind of uptight in this, and they had almost like stereotypical motives, just like the men. But I feel like the men got all of the funny stuff. Everything that was really funny happened with the guys. The only other funny part was maybe the fortune teller. But even with her, like, it was all like objectified women stuff, like boobs and her trying on underwear in the middle of the store and just like open sluttiness and
the locker or the changing room and stuff like that.
Yeah, just all of that. So I mean, all the humor was just like guy humor, definitely. And I don't think that this was made for women, really. I mean, maybe it shows like a caricaturized version of, you know, all the things that women hate in men like this, but I don't know. Not a lot of the stuff landed with me. I think the Jay and Silent Bob stuff was the funniest to me.
That woman thing does, like, I do want to write that, because it does seem like that's where he has trouble writing. And especially, I don't know about anyone else, but like the I can't think of the character's name because I never can. But the one character that was like 15 years old and like her subplot, it was like that just seemed like,
that was off.
Yeah, like off-putting is the word that I would probably use to describe it. So,
Yeah, that's for sure. We do get some stuff that was pretty funny, too, on, like, a nonverbal moment, too, because Amanda was talking about, like, the Jay and Silent Bob stuff. I thought the blueprints were just, like, gold. Like, the blueprints for their plans, if you, like, pause it and read everything that's on those pages, that is some of the funniest stuff in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, another big piece of this, obviously, we have the comic book, we have Stan Lee. I could imagine at the time, like, having a major film where Stan Lee shows up, and I think I would assume a lot of people would have no idea who he is, but obviously, as we have all the Marvel films, that has changed. Do you think, in a way, like, this actually was ahead of the game, because it talked about a culture that was not really portrayed to this level that is kind of common now?
Ew, Stan Lee's hair. So
he
gross.
Says all that, and you're going to talk about Stan Lee's hair. I think too, the other thing that we've been spoiled by seeing Stan Lee show up in like every Marvel movie and that, you know, all the stuff since then, where I think it would have had more of an impact back then seeing him. And I think some of the stuff that they're talking about is that is where we get the most intelligent conversation, I think, is when we're dealing with Stan Lee. Like, that's when more of the higher level, bigger picture dialogue comes out for me. So that really worked for me.
Would this be the all time best Stan Lee cameo?
Oh, yeah. For me, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Matt, like, I know, like, it does feel like specifically of a time of the 90s where, like, it that had that kind of comic book culture of that era.
So I wasn't into comics until the early 2000s.
Oh, well, there you go.
But, like, it does feel like it's so heavily 90s, though. Like, 90% of the characters, or male characters at least, wear, like, flannel. Like, and he's seeing he walks in, like, TS walks into the mall, like, the very first time he walks in the mall, I think he's wearing, like, a plaid or flannel shirt, and then is tying a different one around his waist, and it was like, holy crap, this is so 1990s. It was intense. There are moments that seem very, like, Stan Lee just, like, throwing out fake Marvel comics, or comics that I've just super never heard of, but I'm pretty sure they're fake. Like, seemed really weird and disingenuous, because I know Kevin Smith and Stan Lee both know comic books, but other than that, like, I can't really speak on the comic book 90s aspect of it.
Were there any other key points people wanted to talk about? I know there's, you know, obviously some classic running jokes and stuff like that. We didn't mention, like, the magic eye, which I am one who cannot see magic. Like, I felt for him, because I can never... do it. Like, I don't have that, whatever it is, I just lack that ability. So probably the character I related to the most. So
I've seen that guy in a ton of stuff, but I didn't realize that this was his first film role. I had trouble with magic eye things at first, but then eventually it clicked on and I was fine with them. I was wondering, though, for character wise, because that was another thing I was thinking of when I was comparing this film to Clerks. As Clerks, there was, you know, some characters that I could actually relate more to or I liked. Was there any, I don't see myself liking or being drawn to as many characters in this film particularly. Like, did you guys have a character that you, like, really liked and were, like, interested in seeing more from them besides Jay and Silent Bob, maybe?
No, just Jay.
Just Jay?
And Silent Bob.
And Silent Bob. You said just Jay. And Silent Bob. I mean, Matt, Dan, was there characters that you were drawn to or that you liked a lot? Because a lot of them have a lot of, like, not so great qualities about them.
I found Jason Lee's character interesting or entertaining at times, although kind of, like we mentioned, juvenile. But I, at least when he like, obviously reminded me of Randall from Clerks, but, like, a different type of approach to that character. And I do like Jason Lee as an actor, and knowing this was, like, his first really role, and he's, you know, before this he was a professional skater, so I thought for, like, a performance wise he actually did pretty well. And I thought, like, without him this movie does not have nearly the amount of energy it does. I think he brings a lot to, like, he's kind of the one pushing things along throughout. But other than that, not necessarily. I mean, like, seeing Michael Brooker, it's weird seeing being in a game show thing, but I'm always a fan of him. So, but
what about you, Matt?
What exactly is the question? Just
any no any characters that you were drawn to or that you liked or found redeeming? Or...
I did like the Clerks guy, Randall. Like, his character, I thought was hilarious. Like, because he was just like a guy in a shitty situation that I thought was kind of funny. But, like, Jay and Silent Bob were definitely the star of this, and you could see that's why they got their own movie eventually. Like, none of these other characters really come back, except for those two. But, like, do we talk, like, is now the time to talk about the Mallrats sequel that never was?
Sure.
This was, what, like, a year and a half, 2 years ago now? Like, Kevin Smith got every single member of the Mallrats crew to sign on to do a sequel, and then found out that he didn't own the rights to it? And then, like, it's like a known failure, and so he's like, it shouldn't be that hard to get the rights, and so then he, like, went in and tried to get the rights, and the company that owns him, like, is apparently known for not willing, like, letting go of anything, like, they hold everything regardless of whether it'll make them money or not, and so then he started to work with them, and then they were like, well, let's turn it into, like a Netflix, like, miniseries, and then eventually just, like, all imploded. And then I think he wanted to do a Clerks 3, and I think that imploded, and, like, now he's working on something else?
Well, then he tried to do a TV series, and he pitched it to, like, five or six different channels, and none of them would pick it up.
Yeah.
So, definitely not having much luck trying to rejuvenate this particular part of his filmography. I thought another thing that we do get to see here with this film is the establishment, because, you know, before it's just the first film, so we don't know if there's any patterns or not. You guys have seen more of the film, so you guys can kind of tell this, but we definitely see a little bit of Kevin Smith here in this film establishing some likes and some patterns that we're probably going to see throughout. Obviously, he's a huge hockey fan, he's a huge Star Wars fan, he's a huge comic book fan, so we get to see all of those elements emerging in this one, as well as obviously they're two slice of life type films, so we kind of get to see that aspect of them. So some things that are establishing themselves as maybe trends as far as his filmography. I don't know if anybody else saw anything else that they want to point out that maybe makes a Kevin Smith film a Kevin Smith film.
Did you see the Clerks hat that they brought out for a minute there at the flea market?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, a little fan service, I guess. I think another thing, like, I think it was a disservice to this movie, but somehow worked in Clerks, is just like these like weird monologues that people go on about like pop culture references and stuff, where they like they'll just say just a fucking blurb of stuff. Like when they go like when they're going on about the Star Destroyer or this Death Star, like it's less of a conversation at first. It's always just like someone just starts spewing stuff, and I know that he has said in some of his like talks with Kevin Smith that's like a thing people don't talk like this. Like people like ask him a lot, like, is this what your life is like, where people just go up and just start spewing nerd stuff? And he's like, no, but he doesn't really have a better medium to do it in. And maybe that's become less of a thing since becoming a podcaster. But like in the 90s, like if you wanted to get out your weird Incredible Hulk theory, I guess you just write a major motion picture and have a character just spew it, and then maybe have people react to it.
Very
like
true.
Before Twitter.
yeah, but before Twitter or podcasting or any of the other ways we have of doing that, you just, you know, we needed to make a couple million dollar movie.
Like he had Stan Lee on just to legitimately ask him those questions about all the anatomy of different heroes. I think that was like something that he was longing to get the actual answers to.
But I love it.
All right, well, let's go around with final thoughts and overall grades for Mallrats. Amanda, let's start with you.
Final thoughts. Love the posters in, what's his face's room? What is this?
Brody.
Yes. Brody Bruce with the Tremors poster. What? Dang it. And showing love to the kitties. Remember showing love to the kitties part?
Baby kitties.
It's my favorite parts. Grade. Shoot, man. I'll give it a 6.5.
6.5 from Amanda. In case nobody could hear that, since you're final thoughts. Let's see. Interesting to see the choice to put Ben Affleck in the Batman image at the beginning of the film. So I guess he was seen into the future. Interesting. They filmed this in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and I didn't know. We should have looked it up and taken some pictures because we were in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, like 2 months ago. So we were in the same town that they filmed this in, and we didn't even know it. They at one point said they had a line in there about Jay or Silent Bob being better than MacGyver, It lost like a half a point on my scale for them saying that, because nobody's better than MacGyver. And I think my favorite quote of the whole thing, I have no respect for people who with no shopping agenda. That was great, because that was like me for so long. I'm like, no, you go in, you get it, you get done. I can get this done in a very efficient time. I don't just go to just browse or whatever. So overall, I'm right with Amanda. I think I'm in like the 6-ish range. So 6 out of 10, 6.5, that's a good score for me.
All right, Matt.
Well, I think I really do think it. There's a lot of improvements from Clerks, but I do think it's not as good of a movie as Clerks. So, like, I think it's maybe like a 6. Like, that seems low to me. Like, especially if you consider like some of the other things I've given other things recently. So maybe it's a 7, but like it's not bad.
Yeah. Bring an endorsement.
Not bad. Yeah. Like I said, like I went into this, remember, like really not liking it the first time I saw it and ended up enjoying it a little bit more. Just remember the acting kind of throwing me off. Maybe the fact that I recently watched Clerks to kind of put me in the right mindset. So I do think if like you've never watched a Kevin Smith's film, Mallrats shouldn't be your first, because I think that would probably turn you off. I hate to be repetitious, but I was heading for a 6 out of 10 as well. Like it's you know, it's not a failing grade, but it's about an average movie for me. I think there are some things that I did enjoy, but ultimately there were just a lot of cringeworthy moments that I found really just necessary and really dragged the movie down for me. So yeah, I'm interested to see what we have next, but. Because this, we did kind of get a small preview of the next movie we'll be talking about, as some of the actors that appeared in this will be in, of course, not just Jane Silent Bob, but Ben Affleck obviously plays a huge role in Kevin Smith's third film, Chasing Amy, which we'll get into. But we'd like to hear what you have to say about Mallrats. I know there's a lot of fans of Mallrats, so if you are, let us know what you think and defend your film. We can do that by tweeting us at CinemaGeekCast. Or going to the episode post at geekcastradio.com. Everyone in here is also on Twitter. Amanda, what is your Twitter name?
At HardCandyMandy, eyes, no eyes.
Kevin?
Mine is at OptimusSolo. And interesting that when Amanda and I tweeted out that we were watching Mallrats, we did get people both liked and disliked the film. We got a couple positive comments and a couple negative comments. And a like from Kevin Smith. So
there we go.
There we go. Maybe we'll try to engage him more as we go through this process. But he definitely liked the tweet that we sent out that said that we were watching Mallrats.
Nice. Very nice. And Matt, what is your Twitter name?
I'm at Fridley Sent.
And I'm at Movie Revolt. But join us next time as we continue our Kevin Smith retrospective with a review of Chasing Amy. Thanks, and we'll see you then. On her face, gives us blood and it's worth placing. Take from you, take from me.